when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Blood River Radio audience, dear Blood River Radio family, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It's proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio all over the nation, all over the world. My name is Eddie the Bomber Deer Miller, and this is Saturday, June the 29th of our year, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Almighty God. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. People, that beautiful music you just heard, beautiful, beautiful music, no matter how many times I hear it, it gets chills up my spine. The reason we played that is this will be the last week of June that we play that music, because reason, if just in case you're just tuning in, this is the closing week of June. Every year in June on Blood River Radio, the entire month will be dedicated to the United States Ship Liberty, the dead, and the survivors. That's what we're doing. We have, as promised, we have two surviving military personnel, sailors of the United States Navy, who survived that horrific attack on, God, it's really hard to talk, people, on June the 8th of 1967. They survived it by the skin of their teeth. So, if you will, people, that's a brief introduction. I wanted to do that before I say the prayer, because I didn't want to interrupt the continuity between that beautiful music. And once again, I'll just say the name of that music was A Marine's Last Suit, Salute, and it was played. It came from Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. So people, if you know, this is a Christian show, and we always start off with a prayer. So if you will, bow your heads quickly. Almighty Father God, thank you so much for being with Blood River Radio and keeping us over the airwaves all these years and trying to get the news out to people, trying to help our people to give them wisdom and discernment who our enemy is, the dire straits we're in, how we're to combat this enemy, Lord. Lord, if you will, thank you so much having these precious veterans on Liberty News Radio and Blood River Radio to try to get the message out to the world, oh Lord, just what happened in those all those years ago. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, as we always do, we always have to announce the donors for this week. Without the donors, we could not keep on this radio. We could not. There would be no Blood River Radio. There would be no Liberty News Radio. So our donors for this week were Biscuit down there in Florida. Good old Biscuit. I tell you, he's a stalwart. He sacrifices to keep us on the air, just as Ken of Lynbrook, New York. Oh, we call Ken Big Ben because he's as reliable as the Big Ben clock in London, England. So those are the two. Those are the donors we had this week. That's for sure. People, very, very, very quick outline. Miss Monica, our co-host, Monica will be coming on the second hour briefly, only for a few minutes to announce a dynamite announcement she has. I'll let her tell you the exciting news. We're all very excited about that. Gene Andrews is coming on third hour. The Marine, former Marine, he was a Marine Vietnam lieutenant in the engineers. He's going to break down Jason Kessler's book about Charlottesville. You may not know, but yours truly, me and Gene Andrews, we were at the Battle of Charlottesville, August the 12th, our year, Lord and our Savior, 2017. I was up there. It was my first job with Liberty News Radio as a field news representative. And I'll tell you what, it got hot as a firecracker up there. Gene was there too. Anyway, so much for the announcements. Now I'm going to announce my two brothers in arms. We'll bring on Mo first because Mickey was on 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. Mickey LeMay, bless his heart. And we also have Mo Schaefer. Mo Schaefer is he's just a good guy, and he survived. Both these two guys survived that attack years ago. So how are you doing? How are you doing this afternoon, Mo?
I'm doing good, thanks, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. The first week, I never get over this doing stuff like this. I broke down a little bit, but I think I'm doing pretty good today. Mo knows me. I met Mo down there in Pensacola, Florida. I was one of the greatest honors of my life. I was invited to come down there with the Liberty survivors, and I'll never forget that. But anyway, Mo is a very impressive man. He's cultured, educated. He's just hell of a nice guy. He really is. And later on in the second segment, Mo is going to play taps, and we're going to read the names of all the dead sailors and Marines that were killed, that were murdered in cold blood. Back that day that will always live. That is the day that will live in infamy. We also have Mickey LeMay. He's returning after 2 weeks ago, and I'm really excited to have them. You ready to rock and roll tonight, LeMay? Mickey?
I sure am. I'm glad
yes,
to be
sir.
Here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, sir. You know, there was an Air Force general in World War II, General Curtis LeMay, and he was a I don't know if he was ever chief of staff or whatever, but he was a big mover and shaver in the Air Force. But tonight, yeah. Before we go, we still have about a minute. We've got about a minute before our first break. Not a lot to do, but I'll just remind our people, when we come back to the second segment, our producer is going to play taps, and our brother Mo Schaefer is going to read the names of all 34 of the sailors and Marines that were killed that day. But Mo, I'm really glad to have you doing that. With the few seconds we got, very few seconds, would you like to say anything before we start the regular program of the second segment?
Well, what I can say is that I'm just a sailor who happened to be out there on the USS Liberty, and June 8th became a day in our life of infamy, and of God's intervention, we're still here today, and we're just blessed to be here to honor our fallen shipmates and to work with our supporters we have today, and that's it for now.
Yes, sir. Well, I know Mickey, I wondered, he said that he was the second most serious wounded on that ship. I thought, how in the world did you tell who was first and second? I mean, that man was blown to kingdom come. Well, people, we'll be right back, and we'll soon as we come back to the segment, we'll start taps, and we'll read the names of the 34 people, sailors and Marines that were murdered in cold blood.
Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you deserve some money. Dear Blood River Radio listening audience, we have two, like I said, we have two sailors from the USS Ship Liberty. Not another, just sailors, but they were grievously wounded. They're paying the price to this day, and God only knows why he picked them to survive and the others didn't survive. But what Mo's getting ready to do, as we promised, Mo Schaefer, a hero from USS Liberty, he's going to read the names as we play taps. Let's go ahead, let's see, play taps if you don't mind, dear.
William Allenball, Philip Armstrong, Gary Blanchard, Alan Blue, Francis Brown, Ronnie Campbell, Jerry Converse, Robert Eisenberg, Jerry Goss, Curtis Graves, Lawrence Hayden, Warren Percy, Alan Higgins, Carl Hoare, Richard Keene, James Lanau, Raymond Lynn, James Lupton, Dwayne Margraf, David Marlborough, Anthony Mendel, Carl Nygren, James Pierce, Jack Raper, Edward Raymeyer, David Skolak, John Smith Jr., Melvin Smith, John Spicer, Alexander Thompson, Thomas Thornston, Felipe Titke, Stephen Toth, Frederick Walton.
My God, it just seemed like you're going to go on forever there, Mo. And all those
34
people,
names.
I mean, on one ship. I mean, 34. I mean, that's a big classroom in a high school. That's one and a half classrooms in high school.
I mean, you just to read this during taps, and taps could have played twice, and I read that pretty fast too. Just think about the 174 wounded that if we were reading those names off. So
we need to do that one of these. You know what? Next year we just might do that, even if it takes a whole segment.
You know, the thing of it is that it's just the reality, and it's great to honor everybody. But those 34 live with us forever. And so that's what's so critically important, to remember them, as we just did in Arlington a few weeks ago. And we have somebody come up, crew members and families and children come. And for each name we read off, we lay a wreath, we lay a rose at the foot of the headstone there in Arlington National in memory of them. And that's a sight to be seen. I think you've been there once. No, you haven't, Eddie, right?
No, sir, but I would love to go. If I live, y'all do that next year, I would like to come there, Mo. It would be an incredible honor. So you can just count me in. If y'all go next year, if I'm alive, all these ifs, I would love to go. I really would. I would consider it the honor of my life.
I'll get off of that subject in a second, but yet, no, there's six people buried in a headstone there at Arlington that we never identified their bodies or parts or whatever. And so that's where we go to have our military service when we do have our reunions in Washington. And that's not very often. But ironically, on the hill above our fallen shipmates there, our Captain McGonagall, who died in the early 2000s or 99, I'm not sure, but he's on the hill overlooking the shipmates by coincidence. So it's very, very, very moving when you're there.
I would call that divine intervention by God Almighty.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what anybody else says, but this is so emotional.
Yeah.
Before we get back with you, Mickey, since Mo, this is his first time he's been on this year, Mickey, would you like to say, why don't you say a few words, and then we'll bring Mo back on, because I wanted Mo to tell our listeners, our Blood River Radio family, the hell, not only that y'all went through that day, not only the hell you went through all those years being threatened with prison and maybe worse, but this suffering that you've both gone through, physical and mental, I mean, the physical suffering is almost beyond human endurance than the mental, but I don't want to forget that. But before we go back to Mo, Mickey, why don't you say a few words, because I don't want you laying there too long.
I said just about everything that happened to me that day on the show 2 weeks ago, and Mo is part of the group that had to go down and recover the pieces of their shipmates and best friends.
Wow.
So he has some horrible stories to tell you that are really unbelievable.
Well, keep in mind, don't worry about repeating yourself, because we have new people coming in to listen mm-hmm. to the Blood River Radio all the time. We're growing. We're really growing fast. And also, things need to be repeated, because I'll tell you flat out, without exaggeration, there's such a rough, emotionally gut-wrenching story. I've had to watch Sacrificing Liberty movie. I couldn't watch the whole thing at one time. And listen, I've seen some heavy. I've seen some heavy crap. I was a combat medic. I was drafted in 67, and I'm no shrinking violet, but it just really tore me up. But we'll get back to you in just a second. Mickey, and I want the people to know about your injuries again, too, Mickey, because, like I said, we have new people coming and going all the time. Mo, I don't want to forget y'all's injuries, because that's going to be a hard what our American people, citizens, need to know, just what the hell was done to y'all people by our greatest ally, along with the full cooperation of LBJ and Robert McNamara. But Mo, tell the audience, tell our listeners briefly what happened any way you want to, starting, say, the early morning of June the 8th, 1967. Tell us a little bit about your day, how it started.
Well, that's probably the best way that I can do it. So on June the 8th was just another gorgeous day. But I will say, about 8 days before that, we were down in Abidjan off the Ivory Coast of Africa and doing our regular jobs down there, which was working for NSA. They called us spooks. Mickey was part of the ship's crew who kept the ship running and kept us out there safe from all the things. And then we were called the spooks that were on the ship that were there to eavesdrop on the world. And we were watched or taken care of by NSA, the National Security Agency. But anyway, that morning on the back of the ship, there's a huge basket. On the back of the ship, like an antenna in your backyard years ago, the big moon basket called Trescom. And I got to talk about this. My buddy Jimmy and I were assigned to that sophisticated piece of equipment to get up and clean that and work on that morning to clean it out, because we used that every month to relay messages through the moon, off the moon back to D.C. for what they use satellites for today. But anyway, we were up there, and beautiful morning. I'd say maybe 4 or 5 different times these boxcars came over. They flew over. They had the Star of David on them, and they were waving, and we were waving, and they had cameras hanging out. I know that, but we felt safe because they were around us. We never felt in harm's way, even though we could see smoke from bombs going off over in Egypt and so forth. But we were 13 miles off the coast of the Sinai Peninsula. I would say right after that, we were up there. Then they had lunch, and we came down, and then we had a practice general quarters. And then at 2 o'clock p.m., the jets strafed. They came over the front of the ship, the bow of the ship, and used armored piercing to wipe out all the personnel that were above, used anti-personnel weapons to kill people who were on the surface. And then we looked up and saw them come over, and then obviously the general quarters. And because of my position in the ship, I didn't go around the ship itself and close down the hatches and do all the things that Mickey probably did most of his thing, totally exposed. He was exposed to every piece of gunfire and everything going on from those jets strafing the ship, which, by the way, put 821 holes in it. And most of the holes in the ship were missiles that would cause the shrapnel to go inside and kill people and tear people to pieces and wounded so many. So I know Mickey suffered a lot more than most of us on there. But my station was down underwater in the research spaces to where we did our jobs of doing what we did. And I still can't tell you exactly what we did, but yet it was certainly of a national security issue of what we were up to. So I went down to those spaces.
Mo, we have to take a quick break. We have to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
Don't you leave that stall. We're coming right back to you as soon as we come back from this commercial break. Be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Debt is now exploding by an unprecedented $1 trillion every 90 days. Think of that. It's a clear sign that our nation's finances are spinning out of control, and it's putting the savings of every one of you at risk. Hello, I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst and best-selling author and an evangelical leader. I'm deeply concerned about the impact this runaway debt is going to have on Christians like you who have worked hard to build your own nest egg for your family. To protect your financial future in these uncertain times, you need to diversify with something tangible and proven, like physical gold. That's why I recommend a gold IRA. To learn more, text FAITH to the number 989898, and my friends at Birch Gold Group will rush you a free info kit on how to move your IRA or 401k to physical precious metals, tax and penalty free. So don't wait. Just text the word FAITH to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity and peace of mind.
Iran may be looking at a schedule to a runoff presidential election.
Speaking to reporters, Iran's election ministry spokesperson Mohsen Islami said none of the candidates managed to win an absolute majority, so the first and second candidates with the highest number of votes will be announced to the Guardian Council. He said of 24.5 million votes cast, Pezeshkian got 10.4 million, while Jalili received 9.4 million. More than half of voters cast no ballot in the race that saw Pezeshkian and Jalili compete alongside two other hardliners. The runoff will be held on July 5th. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
An attacker with a crossbow wounding a Serbian police officer guarding the Israeli embassy in Belgrade. Serbia's interior ministry says the officer responded by fatally shooting the assailant. That officer remains hospitalized. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. State of Kansas says it wants the Chiefs and the Royals, but Missouri says not so fast.
Missouri Governor Mike Parson says he expects the state to put together an aid plan by the end of the year to try to keep the Kansas City Chiefs and Royals in Missouri. Parson said Missouri's plan likely would require legislative approval, but he doesn't anticipate calling lawmakers into a special session before his term ends in January. Missouri is seeking to counter Kansas, which approved a plan last week to try to lure the teams across the state line with bonds that would finance up to 70% of the cost of new stadiums. John Scott reported.
Wall Street on Friday, a day of lackluster trading. All told, it wasn't much of a day. The Dow lost 45 points, S&P 500 down 22, NASDAQ dropped 126, oil was off 20 cents. More on these stories at Town Hall. .com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back because time is precious and we've got to get this message out. We're going to go right back to Mo Schaefer. What a story he has. Go ahead, Mo. Continue on where you were, brother.
As I said before the break, had gone from where the attack had started on the decks and was going down to my spaces to where we went into where we did all our research and our things there. And we could hear the armored piercing coming through the side of the ship or whatever. But we were just in a room down there waiting to see what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden over the loudspeaker, Captain McGonagall comes on the speaker and says, "Prepare for torpedo attack." And I looked at my friend Jimmy and I says, "How the blank do we do that? We were never taught to prepare." And I swear to you, I saw a table and I said, "Jimmy, let's lay down on the floor, wrap our arms around that table leg and see what happens." And sure enough, the torpedo hit, and it was beyond anything you can imagine of the explosion, of seeing the bright fire, and then all of a sudden being inundated in water, covered in water and black oil and all that. And then you're still alive, but what do you do? Are you going to get out? Are you going to drown or whatever? And then the rest of that chaos going in there had to be unimaginable, because there were probably 40 of us in that room, in that space down there, and 25 were killed.
Damn.
And so think about that. 25 were killed in that room, of which we only identified one of them. But to continue to kind of tell you the story, so we got out through one hatch. There was a hatch there, and I remember a guy named Buddha Snell was there pulling us through that hatch. And I got out, and the smoke was terrible. And then you're going up toward the deck, going up top side of the ship, saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, I just lived down there. I'm up here now. Now I'm going to go up and get chemically, because you smell all these chemicals, I'm going to get chemically attacked and die, or I'm going to go up above the water and get shot." So, I mean, it's like, what do you do? But you're just in a survival mode. So we went up to the decks, and there was just chaos up there because the jets had already done all their damage. The bridge was on fire. They had napalmed the ship, and the captain was hanging over the bridge, who, by the way, was critically wounded, and yelling people to come up and put out the fires and help do things. And then I saw a guy named Birdman, that we called him, overlay on the deck. He had a bullet through his head and a hose spraying on him. He was kind of drowning, but I went over and grabbed him. And then we all kind of filtered down with the wounded down to the mess decks, which was our mess hall where we ate. And all those tables became beds because we didn't have a hospital on the ship. And so that's where we spent the next 18 hours or so taking care of the wounded. And I think I remember seeing Mickey there on the floor because he was wounded so bad. But I didn't really have time to tell whether I was wounded at this point. And most of my wounds came afterwards. But we just took care of bodies. Like Commander Armstrong, our executive officer, was laying on the table, says, "I'm okay, I'm okay. Don't get me anything." Somebody said, "Go get me my bottle of booze or whatever." And everybody else is being taken care of. He's saying, "Take care of the crew." And he lays there and bleeds to death and doesn't care about himself any. Mm. Talk about a hero. They're giving his life to make sure we take care of the others on the ship. But at that time, then, you know, it's all survival. It's divine intervention that ship doesn't sink, because the hole in the side of the ship is 39 feet wide and 24 feet high from a torpedo. The reason a hole's so big is because the torpedo exploded on impact versus imploding piercing then imploding and cutting the ship in half. So it killed the most people killed the least people, believe it or not, the least people, 25 versus split in a ship and a half, and all 294 of the crews dying. So that was also, in a way, God's intervention that that saved so many of the crew members on the ship, where that torpedo hit on a beam. Anyway, going from there, the rest of it became survival that night on the decks. I got to speed this up because it's a long story. But yet,
yes, sir.
The next morning, the fleet came, and that was almost 20 hours with no help, deserted by the Navy, deserted by the military, and then they came and they started taking the bodies off to the America. Then as that day progresses, myself personally, I realized that I was hurt, not critically injured like Mickey was, but that I had head injuries, and that my neck had been stoved into the ceiling on the ship. And so they took me off on the last people they took off onto the Little Rock, fleet ship. And it was a guided missile cruiser and run by Admiral Martin, who was the commandant of the 6th Fleet. The reason I'm mentioning his name, me and four of my other shipmates are there. We're being taken care of. He came in and he said that I want you all to know that we did everything we could to try to help you. He says, we loaded four planes on the aircraft carrier Saratoga to use conventional weapons and come and help you. And we also loaded four aircraft off the America, loaded with nuclear warheads, designed to go straight to Cairo, Egypt. And they were in the air, bound for Cairo, Egypt. So in case there was going to be a war, we were prepared with nuclear weapons to come within 6 minutes of potentially bombing Cairo, Egypt. The other planes that were loaded are what got Israel caught, because those planes got off, and then all of a sudden you can hear them saying, Moshe Dayan saying, oh my God, we just got caught, here comes planes. So they called Lyndon Johnson, apologized, which was all a farce because it was all planned. And again, in that time, they killed 34 of our shipmates, wounded 171 of us. And if I could, I'd like to just break a minute, and because I'm talking about my injuries weren't that bad, but I suffered dramatically the rest of my life through that, of being sworn to secrecy for 15 years. And we were told on the ship, if we ever say anything, we're going to go to prison because it was so classified. And those are people like Admiral Geis and a couple other big, McCain's father, and people like that who told us things that are just unbelievable to cover up this story. But Mickey, why don't you tell them, like, so, you know, I'm on a ship, I'm up in this basket, all of a sudden the attack happens, I go down below, and I survive underwater. What'd you do, Mickey? What were you doing in that 20 minutes or 30 minutes?
Mo, this is the first time I've heard you talk about it. So what you've told me is a big surprise. I thought only Commander Lewis heard the Admiral talk. I didn't realize some of you guys were also
time. Commander Lewis wasn't with us. This was just five of us sailors.
Oh, okay.
Commander Lewis was at the Board of Inquiry, and that's where he was told, sworn. But the rest of us were told in our own way, too.
Yeah.
Mo, before you go further, tell our listeners how young you were, your age at that time.
I was 20.
Yes. Went in, enlisted in the Navy at 17 years old, a 20-year-old. I'm not even considered an adult yet, but I didn't want to interrupt you, Mickey, but I want our listeners to know how young you guys were. Go ahead, Mickey.
I was 22, not as young as Mo, but
he's very old.
I was actually I am a lot older than you now, buddy. I was on the 04 level, which is just the platform. That's four levels above the main deck, and I did see one of the fighters, not the one that shot me, but it was unmarked, I can tell you that, and it was flying maybe 50 feet above the ship. It wasn't high at all, and like I had mentioned earlier, I'd gotten up to the 04 level and saw the plane, so I had to report to Lieutenant Tarr that I saw the plane, and that's when I got my first strafing. And by that, I mean later on when I was down inside the ship, a rocket came through the overhead and got me as they were taking me down the sick bay again. I do have 52 pieces of shrapnel still inside of me. I went from 160 pounds to 75. So tell me God wasn't watching me that day, and I'll call you a liar. It's just unbelievable what it is. I feel, even though I got mental problems, most of my problems were physical, and now I'm being affected by a lot of them at this age now. Things that never bothered me are bothering me now. It was really tough.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead. No, Mickey had something else to say there.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Mickey.
No, go ahead, Mo. Go ahead. Cut in anytime you want.
Well, you know, it's I just distracted myself there and lost my train of thought. So, Mickey, if you want to continue with your thing there for a second.
Like I said, I was hit on the first strafing. I went into the ship, went down the deck inside the ship, and then crawled down another floor because my left leg had been shattered and I couldn't walk anymore. And luckily, a shipmate found me, threw a tourniquet on my leg, and they eventually got me in the sick bay. I do remember Mo hearing prepare for a torpedo attack. I don't remember the torpedo hitting, so I'm assuming I was passed out at that time. But I did wake up when I heard the captain say prepare to abandon ship. And I do remember him saying cancel the abandon ship order, which I was really glad to hear about, because all I was thinking about is that you guys should just leave me on the table and save yourselves at that point.
Something that your listeners need to know from that statement he just made there, cancel the abandoned ship. We had life rafts on board, and we jettisoned our life rafts. And just so that your listeners understand that it's a war crime not to take prisoners of war and so forth, but instead they decided to go ahead and shoot our life rafts out of the water, so we couldn't get in the life rafts, even had we had tried to abandon ship. So that's something that's beyond comprehension, how that could happen.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, I heard that they shot all of them but one that they took on board one of the boats. That's what somebody
right, told. I think it's on display in Israel somewhere now.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah,
I mean that takes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mo.
How are we doing on time?
Oh, you've got a good 11-12 minutes. Minutes.
Well, it's kind of too. There's a lot more to the story in just that day of the ship because. Of going in. I mean, I personally volunteered to stay with the ship. I came back on the day that the ship got into Malta, whereas we kept the ship there for 30-some days. So our crews, called CTs, spooks, we with a couple other engineering people stayed with the ship, and I think there were 9 of us all total. And but we stayed and cleaned out the ship. We cleaned out our spaces there. We took out the... And the thing of it is we pull into dry dock into Malta, and they empty the water out of the ship. And think about it. There's 25 bodies lying in that space where I was, still in there. Excuse me. For 8 days, they're in there. And think of the smell and all that. So the very next task was Ron Kuchel, our shipmate, was charged with cleaning out the bodies. So they cleaned out the bodies, and as he stated, it was like putting a puzzle together, putting these parts together to find out who the people were. As in the next day or so, they identified 24 of the 25 bodies, and including, I guess, finding pieces of some of the 6 crew members who floated out the side of the ship or whatever. But of the bodies they recovered, excuse me, those 6 were gone. That they recovered, they only identified 1 of them. And And so that's how bad they were mutilated. And think about carrying those bodies out, put them in body bags. And then I came on the ship that day, so I helped finish cleaning up down there. But I stayed in that hole down there for 30 days, every day, in that hole, that ship, cleaning that out, the oil, ballast tanks, all that. And the last day, I remember finding a lieutenant's part of his arm in one of the air conditioner vents on the 30th day. So we found parts, we found body parts, we found everything in there. And it was profound, the impact and the implosion slash explosion, that we found glasses, class rings, we found everything in, and even inside of machines that were still intact. It was unbelievable. But and then, you know, you go from that day on, the cover-up starts. So, Mickey, you want to say anything on that, or what you know about that?
Well, the only cover-up I had was, I think it was in October, might have been November. I was transferred to the Army Hospital in Germany, and this is the only sign I have had of the cover-up, is when they brought me in. I was on the gurney, of course, and they brought me into this ward where there had to be 20 bunks, beds, and 15 of them were full with Vietnam vets. And I wasn't in that room 3 minutes when they came, put me on the gurney, brought me to a private room. And then some officer came in and ordered me to, your name is Smith and you will never talk about the Liberty to anybody. So.
Isn't that amazing?
That was the only thing I saw as a cover up. Of course, in Naples, Italy, we were up on the top floor, so they could control anybody that could come in and see us. So there was no need of giving me that type of order or anything. I know you guys went through hell, from what I hear from Admiral Kidd and the other admirals, I'm sure, that listened to you guys. And what they told you at the end of that is disgusting. I just can't believe that they could do that to an American. Someone that we'd give our life to defend this country. And we almost did.
And Admiral Kidd, right, and to us, took off all of his stripes and so forth and laid them on his thing. He says, I'm just one of you guys right now. Let's talk. And everybody talked. And they told their parts. They told everything they could tell about their own story. And he puts all his medals back on, his stripes back on. He says, okay, boys, he says, this is over. He says, I'm just telling you now what you all told me. Just as Mickey was told, if you ever discuss this with anybody, you'll be sent to Leavenworth Prison or worse. Okay, and that's straight out of Phil Turney's mouth, that he said that. But we all heard that, and we waited 15 years before anybody said anything. And somebody decided, let's have a reunion or whatever, and we got together. And since that time, we've opened up more and more every year and been able to live this. Example for myself, I've tried to get benefits. Okay, it took me 56 years to get medical benefits from the military. Just
Damn.
Got them year before last, and
God.
And I've had 8 back fusions. I'm having 3 more fusions in my upper spine next week at Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, because that's the only hospital in the country that has a surgeon that will do my surgery. And this is all from being blown into that ceiling on that ship and stuff that's gradually, deteriorated my body, but it's all related to that. Right. But it's the military's it's just, the government's amazing on the cover up that they've done, and it's still the largest cover up in history. We'll continue to be that. We'll fight this forever, but all we ask for is an investigation. But it's just right. never happened.
So that's the one. If you could say one thing to the American people, to the listeners of Blood River Radio, you would tell them your number one desire out of all this is for an official investigation.
And get the truth out.
Official, to get the truth, an official congressional investigation, to where if anybody, I would ask everybody that's listening to write to their congressman and say something and just wear them out about this, wear them out about the USS Liberty, because they're going to send you a form letter. This was investigated so and so and so. Was determined to be an accident and never happened, to what they say. and that's going to be their response. This exact same letter I would get. It's just sad that you know, and everybody knows that what else is going on in the world today. So it's just never going to end. I mean, things are out of control. I pray for our grandkids and our grandkids' kids and all that coming forward. Mm-hmm. Just pray so much for them because nothing's been fixed yet.
No, I'll tell you, guys, like I told you, I was drafted in 1967. And I don't know how the rest of the people in this radio show feels, but I'll never salute that rag again that they call the American flag. I'll never salute that birdcage ladder because look what they've done to you guys. Look what they did to us. I can tell you stories not as bad as yours, but I will never, ever salute that damn flag. Never. And I don't want to get carried. Mickey, would you like to say something about the investigation? Anything else you'd like to say? I mean,
just what Mo said. He does it so etiquettely. And
Mo's incredible. Mo may have gave the best one.
Yeah, we need the investigation, the true, honest investigation. Have them ask the crew members what happened that day. I have never been officially asked what I saw that day, and I'll be willing to bet that 90% of the survivors have never been asked, except for when Tim did it on the church.
I know that you would ask us at the end of the show to talk about what we're doing. I don't want to use that up right now, but I've got a couple of comments I wanted to make then. But yet, I just want everybody to understand that your congressmen and your senators and your leadership is not what we'd all like it to be. And there's really no resolution to that. Just I guess we got to be blessed that we have the freedoms we still have, but just mark my words, someday out of the dark, somebody's going to attack somebody else like our ship while you're sunbathing and having fun and all that, and then it's the rest is just chaos. And I mean, we've got Russian ships sitting off our borders right now and so forth, so I don't want to get into that and really shouldn't, but yet there's more to come.
You get anything you want to on this program, I tell you this, you cannot get too high. If you fellas want to, we can always hold you over to a segment for the second hour if you'd like to.
I'm not able to do that this evening, I'd be glad to come in sometime and talk more about the cover-up and things that have gone on since then.
Please
and,
do.
I certainly want to talk about our documentary and stuff this evening, but you got to tell me if you need – do you have more story time you need or what? I have no idea what time it is, so.
We can extend you to another. We can take you over to the second hour if you'd like to, Mo.
I'm just saying I have a commitment to see me, so I have to. I can't stay on, but I would be glad to come back on.
Okay. Would you like to come on next week? Well, you have surgery scheduled, so I'll tell you what, Mo.
Yeah. I'll have to let you know when I'm available after this. So.
Dear brother,
I'm not going anywhere. It's just going to take me a while.
Well, you keep in touch with me, brother. You come on this show anytime. You call me day or night, Christmas Eve. Yeah. I don't give a damn. You call me anytime, and that goes for you too, Mickey. You were my brothers in arms.
Okay, thank you.
You were both sacrificed.
Do we have time to say, is this hour over now?
Yes, sir. This hour is just about over. It's winding down. But I know you got a commitment. Call me as soon as you're able, Mo, and we've got to get you back on again. And you too, Mickey.
Okay.
If you guys can, stay in contact with each other. Either one of y'all, call me, day or night, Christmas Eve, I don't care. Call me day or night. But we got to get you back on. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
God bless you.
Take care, buddy. Love you.
God bless you guys.
All right.
Dear Blood Wolf Radio family, you heard it. You heard it. I'll never ever salute that piece of crap rag as long as I live. Thank you so much, Mo and Mickey, for coming on. I know Mickey's in really bad pain. He has to have surgery. You heard him say that. Excuse me, Mo. Those guys are tore all to hell from that from what happened with our precious, our only allies in the Middle East. May they rest in hell. Be right, folks. Go to the second hour.